Welcome to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Christian Research Institute President Hank Hanegraaff. We're on the air with the mission to equip you in life and truth because life and truth matter. In our post-truth culture of confusion, the need for Christians to be equipped with truth has never been greater. Truth equips you to live life authentically in Christ, enabling you to strive with all His energy that He so powerfully works within you. To join us on air with your question or testimony of the life-saving grace of Jesus Christ, dial 888-ASK-HANK, which translates to 888-275-4265. For more information, go online to equip.org. And now, here's Bible Answer Man host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. Again, the number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK, numerically 888-275-4265. We'll be going to your calls in just a few moments. Do remember our contact information on the web, equip.org, and via the mailbox, 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. I was just reminiscing with one of my colleagues as I walked into the studio about the editor-in-chief of the Christian Research Journal. He died April 11th. And last weekend, I was in California doing a memorial to Elliot Miller. He cast a very, very long shadow, and his life and work continue on with the Christian Research Journal, a brand new edition coming out shortly. You can subscribe on the web at equip.org. Many, many different changes taking place as we continue to expand the ministry of the Christian Research Institute. Next week, in fact, will mark the beginning of an exciting new era for the Bible Answer Man broadcast as we shift from a 60-minute daily edition to a 30-minute daily edition. And that is a very important shift because it will allow us to expand into markets currently unserved by the traditional 60-minute format of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. In other words, we want to expand this ministry so that through the Bible Answer Man broadcast, people will not only know about that broadcast, be able to ask questions on the broadcast, but also know about such things as the Hank Unplugged podcast. So in addition to crystallizing the content of the Bible Answer Man broadcast into a 30-minute program, we are dramatically increasing the amount of content that we are producing. Of course, one of my favorite editions is what I just mentioned. It is the popular Hank Unplugged podcast, which features laid-back, free-flowing conversations with some of the most interesting, informative, inspirational people on the planet. In addition to the broadcast and the podcast, I am passionate, very, very excited about making short digital videos to provide Christians worldwide with carefully researched information with well-reasoned answers, answers that will encourage people in their faith, will equip them to intelligently represent their faith to people who are being influenced by ideas and teachings that assault, that, well, undermine biblical Christianity. Just as the Roman roads provided civilization's connective tissue in the past, so digital highways are providing, well, unprecedented opportunities for interconnectivity in the present day. The amount of countries that I have yet to step foot in, yet have interacted with us through the digital byways, that amount of nations continues to astound me. And we are, of course, working tirelessly to seize these opportunities to impact the body of Christ 24/7 around the world. Again, as I was mentioning at the opening to the broadcast, Elliot Miller has gone home to be with the Lord. His work is done. Our work continues. Again, I'm asking people to stand shoulder to shoulder with me in the battle for life and truth. So many people calling in testimonies. Jim says, Hank, years ago, I was a lukewarm believer. I was caught up in the lies that my happiness was more important than holiness, and that somehow God understood that I was a sinner and would, well, look the other way as I embraced compromise. Your teachings focused on the true word of God on the radio shook the foundations of my hypocrisy, brought me to genuine repentance. As I saw my wickedness through the light of God's word, and the fear of the Lord drove me to the seriousness of it all, especially the seriousness of my sin. You taught me to love, to surrender to God, and to obedience to His commandments, and that has changed my life forever. Parentheses, literally. So thanks for your often harsh truth in love. You teach the whole word, and it matters. In my case, it was not pleasant for a season, but it has produced the fruit of righteousness and a peace and joy that I would not change for anything. That testimony, obviously, moving, touching. And again, I read the testimony not to pat myself on the back, but rather to encourage you to stand shoulder to shoulder with us in the battle for life and truth. I want to mention something before we go to our callers, a lot of you calling in, 888-ASK-HANK. An article that I read early this morning in the Washington Examiner, it has to do with U.S. STD rates hitting record highs. This article by Caitlin Carlisle, again in today's Washington Examiner, points out that in the year 2017, or last year, there were nearly 2.3 million diagnoses of chlamydia, gonorrhea, syphilis, and that's in the United States alone. We're sliding backward, director of the CDC's National Center for HIV, AIDS, viral hepatitis, STDs, and TB prevention, Jonathan Merriman said, it is evident that systems that identify, treat, and ultimately prevent STDs are strained to near breaking point levels. Gonorrhea diagnoses increased by 67%, syphilis by 76%. Chlamydia has continued to be the most common STD reported to the CDC, with more than, this number is staggering, with more than 1.7 million cases in 2017 alone. So what's the solution? Well, purportedly, it is time that President Trump and Health and Human Services Secretary Alex Azar declare STDs in America a public health crisis. That, according to Executive Director of the National Coalition of STD Directors, David Harvey, something that he said at Tuesday's conference on this matter. Harvey went on to say that Americans need more access to health care to be able to better protect themselves against contracting STDs or letting the disease go untreated. No comment whatsoever on illicit sexual behavior. That, of course, is not PC. And it seems to be, if you read carefully, the state's fault if you get the disease, because no health care crisis has been proffered. So much more could be said about this, but the question that begs our attention is the answer really better health care? Or is it rather a reflection of the demise of traditional views of God and marriage and family values? The demise of objective truth. Not just the fact of the collapse being sobering. But what is really alarming is the speed with which 2,000 years of civilizing convictions appear to have, well, quickly evaporated. Strident attacks on Christians from militant atheists constitute just a short list of external maladies, maladies that mirror the internal decadence of our collective spiritual and moral condition. Consider the unthinkable consequences of the erosion of a predominantly Judeo-Christian worldview. Same-sex marriage, transgenderism, gender fluidity, mass shootings that now seem to be a weekly occurrence, one of the highest incarceration rates in the entire world, alarming increases in the use of opioids, heroin, and other devastating drugs. Capitals around the world bracing themselves for increasing attacks by suicidal terrorists willing to blow up themselves along with blowing up others in the name of Allah. And even Christians embracing the PC folly that Islam is a religion of peace. I can't help but think of President Reagan's comment, "I don't believe in a fate that will fall on us no matter what we do. I do, however, believe in a fate that will fall on us if we do nothing." But I also know that we are not struggling against flesh and blood. We are struggling against rulers, against authorities, against powers of this dark world, against the spiritual forces of evil in heavenly realms. It's a spiritual battle. A spiritual battle against a deadly, earnest host of forces arrayed against the kingdom of God and of His Christ. Spiritual warfare is waged against invisible beings that personify the extremities of evil. And their weapons are spiritual, not physical. They can't bite us physically. They can't violate us sexually. They can't cause us to levitate. But they can tempt us to cheat, to steal, to lie. And though the devil cannot directly interact with us physically, he does have access to our minds. He can't read our minds, but he can influence our thoughts. So if we open the door to Satan by failing to put on the full armor of God, he does, as it were, sit on our shoulder, whispers into our ear. The whisper cannot be discerned with the physical ear. It can, however, penetrate the ear of the mind. We can't explain how such communication takes place any more than we can explain how our minds can cause the physical synapses of our brain to fire. But that such mind-to-mind communication takes place is indisputable. If it were not so, the devil would not have tempted Judas to betray his master. In the final analysis, the whole is spiritual warfare is the battle for the mind. And while fallen angels are not physical beings, they are as real as the very flesh upon our bones. They're malevolent. The vastness of their intellect exceeds that of any human who has ever lived, and thus we must not expect that we, unaided from above, should ever be a match for an angel, especially an angel whose intellect has been sharpened by malice. No doubt, much to his delight, we often depict the devil as either a cartoonish clown with an elongated tail, with red tights, with a pitchfork, or as a cultural caricature that traces strange symbols on bathroom mirrors. But far from silly or stupid, Satan is a cosmopolitan angel of enlightenment. Not brutish, brilliant, intimately familiar with the truths that they twist. And Satan knows full well that without the spiritual armor listed by Paul in Ephesians chapter 6, we are but pawns in a devil's game. So put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand, and after you have done everything, stand. My book, The Covering, covers all of this. You can check it out on the web at equip.org, and we will be right back with answers to your questions. 888-ASK-HANK.
When did it become normal for us to expect news of another terror attack, mass shooting, or act of evil? We're not living through typical shifts in a stable society. The tectonic plates are rupturing beneath our civilization. John S. Dickerson wants to help you understand what is happening to our world and prepare you to live fearlessly for Jesus Christ. Together, we can live with unshakable purpose in a changing world. To receive Hope of Nations, Standing Strong in a Post-Truth, Post-Christian World by John S. Dickerson, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Don't go anywhere. We're coming right back with more answers from the Bible Answer Man. Hank Unplugged is a new podcast brought to you by the Christian Research Institute. For decades, millions of listeners at home and abroad have enjoyed the answers and insights of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Now, listeners can hear Hank Hanegraaff as he takes you out of the studio and into his study to engage in free-flowing, stimulating discussions on critical issues with some of the brightest, most interesting people on the planet. Hank Unplugged is a podcast designed to range further and dive deeper into both perennial and contemporary issues of interest to thinking Christians. To join the conversation, subscribe to Hank Unplugged on iTunes, equip.org, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. And make sure you're a part of the conversation. It's a new channel of quality content that serious kingdom change agents won't want to miss. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. The Christian Research Journal's primary commitment is to contend earnestly for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. In keeping with this commitment, the journal's mission is both evangelistic and pastoral, furthering the proclamation and defense of the historic gospel of Jesus Christ, and helping his followers distinguish between essential Christian doctrine and doctrine that is peripheral, aberrant, or heretical. In an age of subjectivism and moral relativism, may Christians ground their faith and values in the objective, reliable testimony of Holy Scripture. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today. Call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. Has God spoken? Are the words of Scripture merely human in origin, or are they in fact the very words of God Himself? 3 years in the making and based on two decades of research and reflection, Hank Hanegraaff's monumental book, Has God Spoken?, answers what is surely the most important question facing our world. In Has God Spoken? Memorable Proofs of the Bible's Divine Inspiration, Hank counters the contentions of the Bible attackers and clearly shows that belief in the Holy Scriptures is not a guess or wishful thinking. It is the only logical conclusion after an honest examination of overwhelming evidence. Order Has God Spoken? From the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Equip.org. In the Great Evangelical Recession, award-winning journalist and pastor John S. Dickerson identifies six factors that are severely eroding the American church and offers biblical solutions to prepare us for spiritual success, even in the face of alarming trends. Receive your copy of The Great Evangelical Recession as our thank you for your gift. Simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org, equip.org. We now return to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Here's your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy, and we turn directly to your questions. The number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK. Martha first, listening in Tulsa, Oklahoma on the web. Hi, Martha.
Hi, Hank. Hi. So, I have a question. My daughter has been witnessing to a friend of hers that has no Christian background at all, and the person is genuinely seeking for answers. And the one question that she cannot seem to get just an answer to satisfy this person is, what happens to people who have never had a chance to hear the gospel at all when they die? That seems to be the one thing that keeps hanging this person up with Christianity, that they would immediately go to hell without a chance of salvation. You know, of course, I've been talking to my daughter and giving her my answers, but they don't seem to be working. I know that that ultimately, I mean, just from my own research, that we don't go to hell based on what we don't know. We go to hell because of our sin. But it, you know, the thing is that some of us get a key to get out of that option for sin, and some don't. What's a good answer that I could give to her?
Okay, Martha, here's the first thing I would do. The first thing I would do is turn to the Bible, but then I'm going to give you an alliteration that helps as well. The first thing I would point you to is Acts chapter 17, because here Paul is making an argument, and the argument is that from one man God made every nation of men, that they should inhabit the entire earth. He determined the exact times and places that they would live. And he did that so that men might reach out for him and find him, though he is not far from each one of us. So, in essence, what Paul is saying is that everyone is placed in a position to know. Now, how can Paul say that? Well, he can say that because all of us have the light of creation. In other words, when you look at the sun, the moon, and the stars, you know that there is a creator. The heavens declare the glory of God. His eternal power, divine nature, clearly seen through what has been made, and therefore men are without excuse. The second thing I would point to is an internal sense that there is a God. God has written a knowledge of himself on the canvas of our consciousness. So you have creation and consciousness that point to God. And if we respond to the light that we have been given, we will also receive the light of Christ. Now, that can come through human agency, or it can come directly to us as it did to the Apostle Paul. Then Saul turned Paul on the road to Damascus. Now, a further answer to this question, Martha, is that it is not the absence of truth that damns. It's the despising of truth that ultimately damns. And Pascal, one of my favorite quotes, and I've used this on the air over and over again, because it's so powerful, it's so poignant. He said that God dwells in enough light so that if we want to find him, we will, and in enough obscurity so that if we do not want to find him, we won't.
Right. Okay, that's really good. Okay.
Do you get all that?
That's really good. I'm writing stuff down fast.
Well, you know what? We can, the show's archived, so that's one way you can get back to it. We also have an Equip app, or you can just go to the web at equip.org and re-listen to the show.
Okay, I'm going to do that. And I'm going to have my daughter listen to it, too.
Cool.
Thank you so
much. You got it, Martha.
Your cancer battle, we've been praying for you. I have a son that's had cancer twice, and God miraculously healed him. So I know God is able.
Oh, that's wonderful. And I certainly feel like a healed human being. I feel strong and vibrant.
Good.
And I'm very grateful for your prayers.
Okay. Well, thank you.
Thank you. Diane next in Hampton, Georgia, listening on Sirius XM 131. Hi, Diane.
Hi, Hank. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you. Thank you for taking my call.
Pleasure.
My question today is, I was in conversation with one of my coworkers, and they said to me that Moses did not believe in God. And, of course, I was in disagreement with that because maybe it's because I always thought or believed that Moses did believe in God based on the fact of his faith that had always been taught to him. Even when he was in the house of Pharaoh, I never thought that he ever, I know he learned the other religions, but I never thought that he strayed from knowing and having faith in God. Can you explain that to me? Or where I can find scripture to back that up?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, first of all, Moses is listed in the Faith Hall of Fame in Hebrews chapter 11. You know, there's the comment there that Moses regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ as of greater value than the treasures of Egypt. So Moses definitely did believe in God. In fact, Moses directly experienced God. Moses saw the face of God. He saw the glory of God. Well, actually, not the face of God. No one can see the face of God, but he saw the glory of God, and we see that in Exodus 33 and Exodus chapter 34. In fact, when he came down from Mount Sinai, his face actually radiated such that it had to be veiled. So he had a direct encounter with the glory, the effulgence of the ineffable God.
That's my scripture to back that up. And I always thought that, but I really didn't know where she was going with that because she said, okay, I'm going to find scripture. So I'll see tomorrow if she's found any scripture, and I will refer to those scriptures to show her that Moses always had faith in God.
Yeah, absolutely. I'd go further too, again, Diane, as I just mentioned, Moses directly encountered God. So if you have a direct encounter with God, it's hard to imagine that you don't believe in God. He saw the glory of God. He experienced God.
Absolutely. But I wanted to confirm, and as soon as I was getting in the car, you was coming on the radio, and I said, Hank will have the right answer.
Well, bless you. Thank you for calling.
God bless you, and I pray your strength in God as you continue walking in your healing.
Thank you so much. Those are encouraging words. Jeff next in Virginia, listening on Sirius XM 131. Hi, Jeff.
Hi, Hank. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. Yeah, thanks for what you do. I appreciate listening to you all the time. It's great.
Thank you.
So my question is regarding the Shroud of Turin. I've read a lot about it, and so I was wondering your thoughts on that. I've seen that, you know, people said the Shroud of Turin is not really, you know, just like an imprint of Jesus' body, but they found almost like X-ray type images on there. And they've had, you know, scientists who have tried to recreate it and try to explain how that image could be on there from, you know, thousands of years ago. So I just want to get your thoughts on the historical accuracy of the Turin.
Well, you know, I would tell you that highly regarded scholars have collated arguments for and against the Shroud. There are evangelical scholars like Gary Habermas. I did a Hank Unplugged episode with him, which was fantastic, by the way, has carefully studied this matter. But from my own perspective, I don't put a whole lot of credence in it. Even in an age of highly advanced technology, there is no certainty that this is the original burial cloth that shrouded the face of Christ. And I would say the problem with the shroud, as with other things that people hope to find, let's say an autographa hot off the plates from Mount Sinai, what would happen if we had that? We would worship that in place of worshiping God. We would make idols out of it. And I think the wisdom of God is evident in the way he protects us from that and gives us all the evidence that we need to believe. We can know that God created the universe. We can know that the Bible is an authentic, authoritative revelation. We can know, as Paul points out in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, that Christ rose from the dead, and therefore God has become knowable to us. And so we have all the evidence necessary to believe. It's not that we can't believe, it's that oftentimes we won't believe. And I don't think that if we had the Shroud of Turin, it would make one whit difference in terms of the skepticism of people. Again, the problem is not that you can't believe. The problem oftentimes is that people won't believe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, good. Okay, great. Thank you.
You got it. Thank you so much for your call. Let's go back to the phone lines, and we will talk next to Mark in Cleveland, Ohio, listening on Sirius XM 131. Hi, Mark.
Hi, how are you today?
I'm great, thank you.
My comment, I mean, your opening monologue where it talked about STDs.
Yeah.
I looked at the concept of contraception. I've been searching my soul on this one. And I see a significant link between that and the disconnection of the act, both in marriage and out of marriage, with the act of procreation. And I look in the Bible and I see Enoch being struck dead, and I see Abram being admonished for different forms of contraception. And I look at myself and I say, I have no right to stop either physically or chemically a perfectly operating part of my body. And I just wanted to get your thoughts on contraception and our ability to take that under our own power.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting because at one point, when people talked about marriage, I think up until 1930, they would talk about marriage with an openness to children. And I think that openness has evaporated in many cases. And I think that we have to be very, very careful, excuse me, about the kind of contraception that we use. So there is much debate amongst Christians on this point, but we have to be careful about it. The necessary openness to children that accommodates the sexual union serves to protect against the abuse of sex for mere self-gratification. And when birth control methods are employed out of selfish unwillingness to have children, sex can quickly degenerate into nothing more than a profound form of play. I've written about this in the Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition. Fortunately, I have to leave it at that, coming up to a station break. We'll be back on the other side of the break with the quote of the day and more answers to your questions. The number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK.
Pastor Martin Niemöller spent the last 7 years of Nazi rule in concentration camps. Reflecting on the camps where millions would die, Niemöller said, "First, they came for the socialists, and I did not speak out because I was not a socialist. Then they came for the trade unionist, and I did not speak out because I was not a trade unionist. Then they came for the Jews, and I did not speak out because I was not a Jew. Then they came for me, and there was no one left to speak for me." To ensure that your voice is heard and that someone is speaking for you, become a member today of CRI's support team. Simply call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. Or visit our website at equip.org. Don't tune out. Hank will be back after the break. Has God spoken? Are the words of Scripture merely human in origin, or are they in fact the very words of God Himself? 3 years in the making and based on two decades of research and reflection, Hank Hanegraaff's monumental book, Has God Spoken?, answers what is surely the most important question facing our world. In Has God Spoken? Memorable Proofs of the Bible's Divine Inspiration, Hank counters the contentions of the Bible attackers and clearly shows that belief in the Holy Scriptures is not a guess or wishful thinking. It is the only logical conclusion after an honest examination of overwhelming evidence. Order Has God Spoken? From the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Equip.org. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. The Christian Research Journal's primary commitment is to contend earnestly for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. In keeping with this commitment, the journal's mission is both evangelistic and pastoral, furthering the proclamation and defense of the historic gospel of Jesus Christ, and helping his followers distinguish between essential Christian doctrine and doctrine that is peripheral, aberrant, or heretical. In an age of subjectivism and moral relativism, may Christians ground their faith and values in the objective, reliable testimony of Holy Scripture. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today. Call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. Hank Unplugged is a new podcast brought to you by the Christian Research Institute. For decades, millions of listeners at home and abroad have enjoyed the answers and insights of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Now, listeners can hear Hank Hanegraaff as he takes you out of the studio and into his study to engage in free-flowing, stimulating discussions on critical issues with some of the brightest, most interesting people on the planet. Hank Unplugged is a podcast designed to range further and dive deeper into both perennial and contemporary issues of interest to thinking Christians. To join the conversation, subscribe to Hank Unplugged on iTunes, equip.org, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. And make sure you're a part of the conversation. It's a new channel of quality content that serious kingdom change agents won't want to miss. We are living in a shaking and divided world. Christians need to understand what is happening, why it is happening, and how to live for Christ today. John S. Dickerson, a prize-winning journalist, wrote Hope of Nations to inform, inspire, and instruct Christians how to stand strong in a post-truth, post-Christian world. To receive Hope of Nations, Standing Strong in a Post-Truth, Post-Christian World, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. And now let's rejoin your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you much, Randy. The quote of the day comes from Tom Holland. He's a historian and novelist, and this comes from an article that he wrote titled, Why I Was Wrong About Christianity. Here's what Tom says. Today, even as belief in God fades across the West, the countries that were once collectively known as Christendom continue to bear the stamp of the two millennia-old revolution that Christianity represents. It is the principal reason why, by and large, most of us who live in post-Christian societies still take for granted that it is nobler to suffer than to inflict suffering. It is why we generally assume that every human life is of equal value. In my morals and ethics, I have learned to accept that I'm not a Greek or Roman at all, but thoroughly and proudly Christian. Again from Tom Holland in the article, Why I Was Wrong About Christianity. Let's go back to the phone lines, talk to Jane in Olathe, Kansas. Jane is listening on Sirius XM 131. Hi, Jane.
Hi, Hank. How are you today?
I'm great. How are you?
Well, I'm very well, and I heard some of the other callers talk about this horrible diagnosis that you have, cancer, which I believe is a disease sent by Satan. I really do, and he's not going to defeat you. So I just have all the faith in the world that it's going away. You're being healed. It's going away.
Thank you. I love it.
Yeah. Well, we need you here, and that's what Satan knows, and so that's why he can't have you. He can't take you. So.
Thank you, Jane.
So, but here's my question. I have a marriage of 16 years that has come to a screeching halt. I found out that my husband, whom I thought loved the Lord far too much to be unfaithful, has been cheating on me since August of 2016 with a woman whom I've been friends with since 2007. Her husband thought that my husband was his best friend, and we both found out differently very recently. So I confronted him about it. I know why he's doing it. I have had a condition since a surgery come up that's made me unviable in a certain way. And it's exacerbated all the other things about me that gets on his nerves. Well, his flesh pretty much rules his head and rules his heart. He has no intention of stopping seeing this woman. And I have to know, if you walk in unrepentant sin, I mean, where is your faith if you're not willing to put that sin down for the Lord's sake, if for no one else's sake? I thought that's kind of part of what we did to show how much we love the Lord, is that we, you know, we die to ourselves daily. We repent and forsake those things that we're not supposed to be doing, obviously adultery in this case, but he just has no intention of stopping what he's doing.
Yeah, well, you're right, Jane. I mean, the truth of the matter is that when someone is saved, they make a U-turn on the road of life. They're no longer going to do it their own way. They're going to do it God's way. That does not mean that we do not slip and fall, but it does mean that when we do, we repent of our sins. We ask for forgiveness. And if someone is not willing to do that, it is a demonstration that they have never been regenerated. I oftentimes say, and this is not original with me, this is part of the historic faith, we are saved, we are being saved, and we will be saved. In other words, part of the Christian life is walking within the spiritual gymnasium in which we receive graces, in which we confess our sins, which is one of those graces, by the way, within the church, by which we are restored. So we confess our sins, and through that, we continue on a path of being changed, of being deified in the sense of being a partaker, as Peter says, of the divine nature. So I think one of the big problems here is that people so often live like baptized secular humanists, and part of the reason they do that is because they think they have a card in their pocket that gets them into heaven and out of hell because they made a particular profession at a particular time. But it is not a particular profession. It is a particular way of living. And that way of living entails repentance and being inextricably bound to a body of believers, to the church. We can't do this on our own. And so, you know, when someone's living in unrepentant sin, what happens? There is a consequence within the body of Christ that takes place until there is confession. So you're sort of driven, as 1 Corinthians 5 puts it, or 6, I think it is, where you're driven into Satan's world, and you experience the world's way of life, and that is a way that brings us to repentance. So I couldn't agree with you more. Let me go back to the phone lines. My condolences, by the way, stand strong. Christine in Long Island, New York, Sirius XM 131. Hi, Christine.
Hi, Hank. How you doing?
I'm fine, thank you.
Okay, my question is regarding purgatory. What, you know, and what the Catholics believe, and is it in the Bible? Is it not in the Bible?
No, there's nothing whatsoever in the Bible that teaches that believers incur debts that must inevitably be satisfied in purgatory before the gates of heaven can be opened. The doctrine of purgatory is counter scripture, actually. It undermines the sufficiency of Christ's atonement on the cross. If you look at the Bible tells us that through one sacrifice, God has made perfect forever those who are being made holy. So Roman Catholicism, in this sense, I think clearly undermines the seriousness of sin in forwarding the notion that there are venial sins that can be atoned for through temporal punishment and purgatory. In reality, all our transgressions, all our iniquities are sins against a holy, against an eternal God. And as such, they rightly incur an eternal, not just a temporal debt. And by the way, for a little historical context, while purgatory was officially defined by the Council of Florence, that was back in 1439. So you think about church history, 2,000 years, it's pretty new in the continuum of church history. It was officially defended by the Council of Trent in the late 16th century. But nowhere is purgatory officially depicted in the canon of Scripture. The doctrine of purgatory is not explicitly stated in the Bible. And therefore, Catholicism is forced to appeal to the traditions of the fathers rather than testimony of the father. And when I say the traditions of the fathers, I'm talking about recent fathers. The testimony of the father is that through his word, he has graciously provided salvation by his grace through our faith and on account of Christ and the idea of a category of venial and mortal sins and venial sins can be atoned for in purgatory. So this is unbiblical. And even as I might have mentioned, the Catholic Encyclopedia, yes, it acknowledges that the doctrine of purgatory is not explicitly stated in the Bible.
Okay, and do we know why they created this whole theory?
That's a good question. You know, if you think about what happened in the 16th century, and this is before it was officially defined by the Council of Florence in the 1500s or the 1400s, what you had is you had a dogma being proliferated as a popular way of raising money, quite frankly. There was a man named Johann Tetzel who coined this catchy couplet, as soon as the coin in the coffer rings, the soul from purgatory springs. And that became a way of raising funds for St. Peter's Basilica in Rome. So it was a prostitution that was perpetuated in many different ways. I can't really cast aspersions on all Catholic clergymen in this regard, but I can say that it certainly was a doctrine that was abused in that way.
Okay, great. Thank you very much.
You got it. Thank you for your call. Monica next in Green Acres, Washington. Hi, Monica.
Hi, thank you for taking my call real quick. Just to clarify an answer that you gave to another caller.
Sure.
Regarding what happens when you die and you don't know Christ, whether it be an infant or someone from another country where they have no knowledge of Christ, and you said something about them, that God scattered all the people and that they would either know or not know, but from my own, what I've read that I'm just to trust in God, and He is just. And for those that haven't had a chance, that is to God. And So I'm just kind of confused on your answer.
Yeah, basically what I was quoting was Acts chapter 17. From one man, God created every nation of men that they should inhabit the whole earth. He determined the exact times and places that they should live. He did that so that men might reach out for him and find him, though he is not far from each one of us. And I said he's not far from each one of us because we have the light of creation, because we have the internal light, the light of conscience. And if we respond to light, we will be given more light. So it isn't as though people don't have a chance. I also pointed out it's not the absence of truth that damns, it's the despising of truth that ultimately damns. And I quoted Blaise Pascal, who said that God dwells enough light so that if we want to find him, we will, and enough darkness so that if we don't want to find him, we won't. So that's a summation of what I said in the earlier part of the broadcast. And so the idea that people don't know is simply spurious, according to the Apostle Paul. But even in that case, even given the premise, remember that I would entrust all people into the hands of an infinitely just and infinitely merciful God who in the end does everything perfectly. I'm going to unfortunately have to leave it at that, Monica. I am out of time for this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. As always, do remember Monday through Friday at this time, your questions answered live when you dial 888-ASK-HANK. Look forward to seeing you on the next edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. And I do thank all of you who stand shoulder to shoulder with me in the battle for life and truth. You're making an eternal difference in the lives of people. But perhaps you won't know this side of eternity, but you are making a difference. So long for now.
You've been listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. We pray that today's program has deepened your understanding of Scripture and helped you grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you'd like to contact CRI and order resources or partner with us financially, just go to equip.org, that's equip.org, or call a resource consultant at 888-7000-274. You can also write to us at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. God spoken? Are the words of Scripture merely human in origin, or are they in fact the very words of God Himself? 3 years in the making and based on two decades of research and reflection, Hank Hanegraaff's monumental book, Has God Spoken?, answers what is surely the most important question facing our world. In Has God Spoken? Memorable Proofs of the Bible's Divine Inspiration, Hank counters the contentions of the Bible attackers and clearly shows that belief in the Holy Scriptures is not a guess or wishful thinking. It is the only logical conclusion after an honest examination of overwhelming evidence. Order Has God Spoken? From the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Equip.org. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. The Christian Research Journal's primary commitment is to contend earnestly for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. In keeping with this commitment, the journal's mission is both evangelistic and pastoral, furthering the proclamation and defense of the historic gospel of Jesus Christ and helping his followers distinguish between essential Christian doctrine and doctrine that is peripheral, aberrant, or heretical. In an age of subjectivism and moral relativism, may Christians ground their faith and values in the objective, reliable testimony of Holy Scripture Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today. Call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org.